Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In, ladies and gentlemen, good to have you back. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've got three buttes with me. Jim.
Salutations.
Pete. Get the fuck up. And Luke.
All right.
All right indeed. Now, on the weekend, we saw Joe Hart save a penalty from Scott Sinclair. Shortly before Sinclair took that penalty, it looked as though Joe Hart was goading him, was psyching him out, was saying something, which we'll come on to in a brief moment. If you were a goalkeeper, how would you put off an opposing penalty taker, Jim?
Well, I was quite impressed with the way that how loud Joe Hart was. He was really, really belting out those words, those weird words, whatever they were. And in mind, what I would do, right, is I'd wait till the penalty taker had sort of taken his run up, and I'd hit, just stare him right in the eyes, and I just start absolutely belting out Nessun Dormer. I'd get like singing lessons, so I'd be really, really good at it. And I'd get, you know, the bit like on that crescendo just before it builds up to it.
It's a long run up.
Yeah, no, but he's going to be really intimidated. And I would hold that note until he goes to take the penalty, then obviously save it. And I think all my teammates and probably the crowd will also join in by going, da na 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 na.
That'd be amazing.
It's brilliant. It'd become a thing I did every time.
It's a great video of Pavarotti doing that on YouTube, you can check it out.
Doing that,
and he's singing Nessun Dormer, and his face is amazing. The passion,
The
passion. Is amazing.
Have we got a Euros song yet?
Not sure.
Has that been announced?
There's a gap in the market to be filled, Pete.
Yeah.
Dads with swords.
Every April, some chances have a go. Yeah. Go at it, don't they?
If you do have one of those songs and you would like to feature it on the Ramble, just don't bother.
Don't. No. Yeah, no. Don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know that's happened, to be honest.
Pete, clad in Olympiacos shirt.
I am clad in a very cheap Olympiacos shirt. I was going to go for unnecessary erection, but I thought, no. I thought
your erections are always unnecessary, according to your girlfriend.
Hey. But what I thought I'd go for is, I thought I'd, like, what he could do was, before the penalty's taken, while everyone's, like, arguing, remonstrating with the referee, pop in his bag, a little razor blade, just a little nick, just underneath the, maybe the left-hand side or the right-hand side, just under the testicle. Yeah. Give him a little cut, so it's not, it doesn't start bleeding immediately.
Testicle.
Yeah, of your own leg, just cut your own leg.
Okay.
And then, obviously, I think Joe Hart's shorts are sometimes blue, or sometimes light, anyway.
They're white, aren't they?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they are light, yeah.
White and
light.
So, so he starts the run-up, and he'll just see this patch of blood getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you're staring at the player, that's an intense image. And somebody's going to stop and go, are you all right? And he'll, like, miss the kick or something. I mean, you will be bleeding. And you will have ruined a perfectly good pair of shots.
You'll probably have to go off.
I'd rather go 1-0 down.
Yeah, I was going to say, or he just might put it past you and you've cut yourself.
Yeah. No, but a man bleeding is quite a serious thing. Nobody wants to see that.
This reminds me of the time when you said to celebrate a winning goal once, you'd run into the opposing bench, jump up and down it and wet yourself.
Yeah, it's very liquidy based, man. Yeah.
Always with the nuts.
Mm. Yeah. You're not going to win the points.
But hang on,
yeah, exactly.
Go on.
You know when what goalkeepers sometimes do is when the guy puts the ball down, they'll walk up to the ball. If the referee lets them get away with it, pick the ball up and just like feel the pressure of it, like soak it out. Yeah. What I'd do, right, is I'd pick it up and right in front of the taker, I'd like really aggressively snog the ball, like lick it and slobber
probably
all over it.
Probably maybe get on the floor with it, you're a teenager in the park.
Put my arms around it.
You tongue the valve.
Yeah, tongue the valve. And the bit I tongued, I would face the penalty taker and put it down.
Yeah. I'd just
nod at it, go, you like that?
Yeah. Would you go, good luck?
She's mine. Don't hit her
We're
hard.
In love. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, good. I would, if I was going to get a mask made of Who the penalty taker is likely
right
to
you
be.
Need at least 15 masks.
No, you don't, because
there's only 11 players on the pitch.
No, but you'd have subs as well. What if the sub came on and took a penny?
If you're a professional footballer, you can afford 15 masks.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, but most likely they have designated penalty takers teams.
Yeah.
So anyway, Scott Sinclair mask, whatever, and then as he's just about to take it, just slip that on. I just think it would weird him out.
Get a little plasma screen.
Yeah,
and just do that. And they just get different pictures.
I also thought before I answered that my answer would be locate every single ex-girlfriend of the player, because they always have loads of girlfriends.
Oh, and a mask of hers.
No, and put them in the audience behind the goal.
Oh yeah.
With arms folded.
No, like, get them to that waving thing that the away fans always do.
Did you see that American basketball fan who got
Cameron?
He got, not that ham robot, he got a picture of his own face, like sort of making this really weird grimace, and had it sort of blown up so it was massive, held it above his head and made the face, and he was using it to psych out loads of players, and whatever team it was, like, it really caught on and they all got them. this same guy's face, just
brilliant.
He gets the point.
Yeah.
What I should have said was, get, you know, that Barcelona blow up the little fellas, the inflatable fellas that you see on garage forecourts. Just get one of them.
I've had them at Chelsea.
Second
as well.
Goalkeeper.
Yeah. Oh yeah, good point. Jim's got the points.
Yeah. Of course he has.
Thank goodness. Well, let's move on to that. It's Swansea beat Manchester City 1-0. A lot of the commentators were saying, Hart was saying, you're not going to beat me or something. I thought he was saying to Scott Sinclair before he took the penalty, don't wait for me.
That's what it looked like.
He was saying that, and I think he was saying that because a lot of players they wait for the keeper to move and then they take it, and Hart was saying, don't wait for me.
Exactly. And which is what, when Cristiano Ronaldo missed a penalty in the Champions League final, Petr Cech just stood up. Ronaldo sort of faked to go, and he didn't move, and he just sort of thought, oh shit. Yeah. and did a, you know, nice height for the keeper, and it was a save.
Well, Scott Sinclair's penalty wasn't that good.
Exactly. No. So if you wait for the goalkeeper to move and he doesn't move, you don't have a spot to put it in. So you have got probably less than a second to pick a spot, and the chances are you're not going to stick it in the corner.
You've got to be a pretty good player to do that anyway. I mean, for me,
Yakubu does it.
Well, Yakubu, as I've said before on this show, I had a season ticket at Portsmouth when he first came, and he took penalties. And the first three or four penalties he took, I thought, that is lucky, so lucky. Yeah. But it just happens so often.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, could it be, though, that the QB's so lazy, he just often thinks, I don't really fancy it. Oh, well, you know, better put it away.
He's too lazy to make a decision.
Yeah.
So the keeper doesn't know what he's doing.
So he lets the keeper make the decision for him.
But he's an expert penalty taker.
Didn't Lauren score one, the Cameroonian fullback, for Arsenal against Spurs? I think it was Neil Sullivan in goal. And he ran up and he just looked at Sullivan in the eye. And Sullivan just looked back. And Sullivan hadn't moved, so Lauren just put it down the middle, and Sullivan, of course,
caught
just
it.
Guessed. And, no, he guessed, dived out of the way, and so he scored.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But for me, they used to say, obviously the game's changed now, back in the day, as a kid, I can remember people saying to you when you want to take a penalty, make your mind up and don't change your mind.
That's right,
yeah. But now they seem to just do whatever they want, wait for the keeper to go, then do it.
I think it's definitely personal preference, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not many players would have the bottle to do that. But it was a good save by Hart. He was really pumped up.
Yeah.
What's the one thing I like about Joe Hart is one of the very, very, very few England players who's a winner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
True. And I love trusting the England goalkeeper again.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Even though he's never won anything.
I think his sort of characteristics would be seen as arrogance in another player, but because he's so goddamn competent good, and because he's so goddamn good, he's allowed to be that.
It was a little bit arrogant, but
no, it did its job, didn't it?
That's the problem. A bit arrogant. Not sure I like that.
Well, this is what I'm saying, but I think with Hart, Pete says it is a little bit different. But they didn't win though. Swansea got the win. Luke Moore scored the winning goal.
He did. Yeah,
I've got loads of tweets. Lol.
Yeah.
I imagine you will sort of still have tried to take some credit for it, though.
But you know me too well.
City didn't seem to turn up, did they? They seemed to underestimate Swansea, which is a foolish thing to do, given how well they've been.
They had a spell where they were okay for a bit. But Swansea have done what they've done all season and just been so imperious at home.
Yeah.
And kept the ball for fun, really. Mm. And they richly deserved their win.
They kind of made City a bit sloppy, weirdly.
They did, yeah. And it's a big test for City now, because as people have said before, they've been knocked off the top.
Yeah.
And they've not had that since October, so I'm not really sure they'll know how to react, and it'll be interesting to see what they come up with next.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tevez coming back could be an interesting development in this. It might be sort of the ace card they need. He's going to be like having a new signing, you know, weirdly.
A worrying thing for City fans, possibly, is the fact that they seem to really pin all their hopes on the pin all their excuses on the fact that they had a goal disallowed, which was correctly disallowed.
Yeah, that's the rule.
So I mean, surely that's a sign of a bit of weakness. Well, there, actually,
yeah, it's like if you score a goal and it's offside, it's like shooting the ball just wide and going, well, I mean, if the goals are a bit bigger or something. Yeah, that's the rule, isn't it?
But if the wind was lower down and harder.
Yeah. You saw that lad in the crowd crying.
Oh yeah,
it's like it's March.
He also claimed that he wasn't crying on Twitter.
No, like,
I wasn't crying. I was just emotional.
Yeah,
so
him?
Emotional. You were crying. Yeah. There were tears coming out of your eyes.
The far end of emotion. It's still emotional.
Yeah, maybe he's not in touch with his emotional side.
Did you see Keys and Greys tweeted their congratulations to Sean Massey for getting the call right?
Just
so patronising.
Everyone's forgotten about you, lads. Don't worry about
you
it.
You don't need to keep bringing this up.
There's a brilliant article on The Guardian, isn't there, about all that?
Yeah.
Was it Amy Lawrence, was it?
It wasn't Amy Lawrence. It was Marina Hyde, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Guardian, yeah. It was very good. Richard Keys, I think, who wrote it, said it was like the internet. It was basically the internet equivalent of sort of patting someone on the head, saying "Well done."
But he also said, we're delighted for her as we were like a year ago. So it's still sort of unapologetic with it. There's still so much arrogance in it. Fitting that much bellendery into one tweet is quite impressive, really.
Indeed it is, Jim. But Man City are in second because Manchester United beat West Brom 2-0 and a top. Are they going to stay there? Are they going to stay there, Pete?
They've got a better run. I know I'm not Pete.
Go on.
But they've got a sort of, not easier, I suppose, but they've got a more comfortable run, you would think.
Well,
they've got some tough games coming up.
They came through that period, didn't they, Manchester United, where they were away to Arsenal, away to Spurs, a few tricky ones. And they've come out of it, and now they're on top, which is incredible, really.
And they know how to stay there, don't they?
Yeah, indeed they do.
We've said it before, we said it again, they know how to win the title.
There we go. That's the views that I wanted to hear.
Not even trying, are they?
Yeah, that's right. Arsenal setting a record for the first side in Premier League history to have won four games in a row after going behind in each one.
Yeah, it shows the spirit in the side, doesn't it? I mean, it is. Arsenal do make up for the fact that I don't smoke. health wise, but I would like it if they would stop going 1-0 down.
They're only 1-0 down for like 50 seconds.
True. But no, it was the spirit in the team is brilliant. It was an incredible win against Newcastle. It really was. We were saying after the Tottenham game, and Bakary Sagna seemed to sort of epitomise this. It's like they just had enough, and it's like that rage still hasn't worn off. They're like the Incredible Hulk.
It will do by the end of the season when they need to win the last game to get fourth, so I can
But I'm a little concerned as well about all the sort of the fans on Twitter and stuff like that going, "No, we're coming for you, Spurs." It's like, don't do that yet.
But it gives us something to focus on.
It does, because
Spurs have funny with Spurs, they've not, people have been quick to jump on the sort of old red nut to England bandwagon, but Spurs haven't been playing badly. They've been playing well.
Better team against United.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is remarkable, isn't it? And I know everyone's been saying this, but Spurs have had such a good season, also such a poor one, and it's only 1 point between them.
It's all about getting that lad signed up, my lookalike signed up.
Which one?
Rizicky.
Yeah, Thomas Rzeczycki.
Delighted for him for his sort of return to form. He looks like the player that he was when he first arrived at Arsenal.
But it does just seem like, Ash Arvin just had him under the thumb. It just seems like as soon as he goes, he can play a bit of football again.
Ash Arvin said he wants to come back.
He's thinking, hang on a minute.
It is cold here. I forgot.
I tell you, Theo Walcott looked a lot better.
Yeah,
his final
he did.
Pass.
He had one of his good days.
Sanya's made a big difference.
Sanya's like one of the best players at Arsenal and arguably the best right back in the league. I would say you probably have Michael Richards up there with him as well. And yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to make a difference to any sort of right sided play, because he's that option, isn't he? He's reliable, He allows Walcott to express himself because he's not going to cock anything up.
Had a very easy run against David Santon,
who
is quick, but seemed to just not have he just doesn't seem to want to defend at any point. And they brought on flipping James Perch for
David Santon is quick, isn't he?
He's quick going forwards, but not backwards, it seems. But
maybe just to turn around.
Yeah.
It's much easier.
Concentrate. You're like the only, you sort of line up and he's facing his own goal. It was a weird one. It was a really, really weird one.
You want to give more credit to Sanya, really, because as it's pretty easy to work out, even if you don't play football, that if you've got someone behind you instills you with confidence, and Walcott's biggest problem is confidence.
Yeah.
If he's got like a slightly more competent person behind him, rather than God knows who, right back out of position or whatever, it's much easier for him.
Part of Arsenal's problem was for a couple of months they didn't have a fit fullback. So they're playing sort of centre backs out of position. Obviously, it's made a huge difference. It's a better reflection of what Arsenal's squad is actually like.
And Gibbs is back as well on the other side.
Santos is fit and playing for the reserves tonight.
Did you see the interesting thing about apparently Newcastle had a meeting with Jovino
Newcastle, like, really?
Yeah, in, would it be in the summer? No, it might have been in the winter.
Oh, before Arsenal signed him?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. Right. And he and apparently he started text messaging in the middle of the meeting, and they went, right, we don't
really?
Wow. Quite a,
that is very rude.
It's an apocryphal tale, but I mean, I think it's quite an interesting one if it's true.
Yeah, but it's in the same way you hear little stories like that. I remember Gordon Strachan once said when he was, I think he was in charge of Celtic, he had Emmanuel Adebayor come and have a look around the club and all, and he just said, I didn't like his attitude.
Like, soon as for Cantona. At Liverpool, wasn't it?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, we talked about this in the show. Souness apparently said, yeah, we definitely want him. And then he met him and he was like, no.
and like Souness with Dwight York and like Souness with David Dunn. God knows who else.
So then Souness basically had what he had Cantona for a training session, put a big two-footer on him.
Yeah.
Apparently Cantona was annoyed
didn't like
about
it.
That.
Yeah.
Forget it then.
Retaliated.
Get out.
I will not have people two-foot me back.
Pull your collar down.
Talk of Lucas Podolski on his way to Arsenal in the summer.
Yeah, I think that news has obviously been leaked for the sake of Arsenal fans to keep a sort of a good mood up. And also
just sneak Van Persie at the back door. What happens? Yeah.
Well, I think it's a sign to the players and the fans that the club are changing their policy a little bit. You know, that they need to sort of bring in more recognised players. The talk of Mario Götze coming in as well, which would be brilliant. I mean, it almost looks like they're trying to convince Podolski he's playing for Germany to maybe score as much for Arsenal as he does for them. But I mean. You could look at it as it's, you know, Podolski would be a replacement for Van Persie. Obviously, they're saying, you know, he'll play alongside him. But I think it's a smart move because if Wenger can't hang on to Van Persie, he will work as a replacement. You know, it's the sort of player you'd want to come in to replace him. And I think Wenger's had his fingers burned with being determined to hang on to players and then just not being able to. So maybe it's a sort of a contingency plan in case that happens again.
Is that £100,000 a week limit a little bit old fashioned? When was that actually?
I think that it is, yeah. But I wonder if they'll change that. I wonder if they'll change that to sort of keep Van Persie.
Well, there's talk of Van Persie being offered £210,000 a week by Manchester City.
Yeah, I think that's just talk, though, isn't it? There was a newspaper talking about that where they quoted Van Persie's agent, but it just isn't his agent. It's just some other agent.
Just briefly going back to Podolski before we move on. Did you see him grab? Was it his coach or one of the coaches' throats?
It was his coach. Yeah,
he got sent off at the weekend against Hertha Berlin.
Yeah, and as he walked off, he grabbed his coach by the throat.
It was a soft sending off.
Look forward to that. That's still not a really good reason, though, is it?
I'm really annoyed.
I was going to say, Luke, I don't think you've heard me quite rightly here.
There were three sends off in that game.
Now we must go to Newcastle, where the Newcastle fan who was fined £100 for writing. St James's, I think he was going to write St James's Park, but he got caught on Newcastle's now called Sports Direct Arena Stadium. We heard about this. This happened a little while ago, of course, when the name change first happened. Well, he's been offered some help paying the fine. A man, he's unemployed, but the group of Newcastle supporters from the NUFC Fans United have said they will cover the costs. And I did quite like some of the quotes from this story, because the spokesperson from the NUFC Fans United said, I think a lot of people would say that Mike Ashley has vandalised the club by writing Sports Direct Arena all over the stadium.
Michael, he owns the club, doesn't he?
Technically
he owns that role.
You can't really vandalise your own property, does he? But Michael Atkinson, who was the guy who did the vandalisation, was
vandalisation.
I love the story behind it. He was 8 cans of lager better off.
Yeah,
and he saw messages on Facebook saying that the name change is an absolute disgrace and something should be done about it.
Was he drunk enough that he thought Facebook was telling him to do things?
Yeah. He took it literally, Jimbo.
I hope he lived locally.
He picked up his paint and paintbrush and walked down to the stadium.
Turned up going, I brought a knife to open it.
Where's my stick? Where's my mixing stick?
Reports say he'd only painted the two words until he was spotted by the police. And they said when they got there, Atkinson said, I will come with you. You would have done the same. I knew I was going to get nicked.
You would have done the same.
Yeah, so there we go. Atkinson said outside court, though, being banned from games is worse than the fine. I don't really regret it, but I won't do it again. It would be daft to get nicked for the same thing.
daft to get nicked for it in the first place.
The funny thing is, it just reminds me of the Viz cartoon 80s. It should be like, it would be daft to get nicked for the same thing. Next pain, him getting nicked for the same thing.
Maybe it's like an elaborate plot to throw the police off the scent. I definitely won't do this again. See you later.
Yeah. Next time he gets to St James's Par. Moving on then to Everton 1 Spurs 0. Good result for them, but of course they got beat 3-0 off Liverpool. Steven Gerrard hat-trick on his 400th appearance for the club.
I think it's his first hat-trick, is it not?
Second.
I think it's his second.
Really? Yeah. That's immense.
Yeah. But, David Moyes has been getting a lot of praise recently, and rightly so. And it was a good win against Spurs.
It's his 10-year anniversary in the club, and he's done an excellent job. Spurs didn't play that bad. They really turned the screw, but just couldn't score. That's the story of their last three or four games. Really.
Do you think Moyes would be a sort of, you know, it'd be the right time for Moyes to go to a sort of bigger club if Redknapp did go to England and the Spurs job became available?
Yeah, I mean, lots of people seem to think that Spurs might be able to attract Mourinho, but I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah, well, Mourinho could always end up at Chelsea, you know, they might lose out.
That's true. I was speaking to James Horncastle about it, and he was saying, you know, Spurs are really going to give him, like, millions and millions and millions. I know they'll
there's talk of a
bit,
£50 million war chest.
What, for the incoming manager?
Yeah, well, maybe for Redknapp.
Would that be sensible to give it to Moyes over he came in there? Is he really spent that amount of money?
Sensible to give it to Redknapp?
If you're going to, you know, if you're going to appoint someone as manager, you've got to back them, haven't you?
Yeah, but the problem with Moyes is everyone sort of says, oh, he's never had any money. It's like, he's had pockets. Fellaini, £15 million or something.
Yeah, that's
12 million. It's
they're the rare examples, aren't they? I mean, a £15 million player for a club like Tottenham or Chelsea, that's, you know, it's a squad player almost, you know.
I guess so.
I think someone like Moyes, he's been at Everton for so long to change and go to a club, it's very difficult.
They're hitting a bit of a glass ceiling, Everton, aren't they? That's the problem. Bill Cameron can't find a new owner. Yeah. David Moyes, I mean, if they do find a new owner who wants to invest a load of money into the club, he may feel like he has his own sort of ideas of who he wants to bring in.
But what tends to happen, though, with those kind of clubs is that if you don't have the money to back it up, and then you think, okay, and Moyes goes and you get someone else and it'll never be as good. Moyes has got them, you know, it's probably as high as they can go at the moment. You need the money. You know, it happened, I mean, it's not right to compare Charlton to Everton, but if you look at someone like Kirbishley, you know, he secured them in the Premier League and Kirbishley left and eventually they went down. Look at them, you know. Yeah,
And also look at Kirbishley.
Yeah,
it's a similar situation.
That's right.
You know, he was so highly rated, but now he's.
I'd love to see Moyes stay there. I really would, and hopefully the money will come one day. That I think that would probably.
Do you think Redknapp will leave Spurs then?
Do you know what he's saying? He's not sure, if he is offered a lot of money, this proposed war chest, any excuse to say that word.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he will. I think Redknapp still loves club management. He loves a bloody spend. And so I think maybe Redknapp will say to himself, I'll do this for another 2 or 3 years, and then I'm sure the England job will reappear.
Can you imagine him sort of sitting in the office with the FA talking about the management job, the England manager job, and sort of going, right, so let me get this right. He said, I can't buy anyone at all.
No foreigners.
Can I think about it?
No, what they'll do is they'll sell it to him as free transfers.
Yeah, everyone's on a free. It's amazing.
It's brilliant.
Just come and check with us first. Yeah. Everything's on a free.
Yeah. If you don't want someone, you just drop him and he's gone.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, talking of England manager positions, Glenn Hoddle's thrown his hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Hoddle's up for it. He's like, I've got unfinished business.
Yeah.
Get him in. I love it. I bloody would.
There's only one England manager in history that doesn't have.
So you better start chanting there.
Business.
There's only one. Who's that?
Alf Ramsey.
Yeah, there it is.
So yeah, it's just a baffling thing to say, isn't it?
Well, it's very true.
It's business.
And also, like, that was like over 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was.
So I mean, the guy's probably moved on. Like when they had Gascoigne on Sky Sports News, and he said, "I'd have Venables in there. I'd have Venables."
And David Batty holding.
Yeah,
he's probably just in his mind. He's in sort of like the 90s. Though,
like Marcus,
isn't he? Gazza.
Like Marcus,
Bell.
Sven, Glenn.
Yeah. No, Sven wasn't 90.
That's true. To be fair,
don't be silly. Now, Bolton, good win against QPR. That was the proverbial 6-pointer. QPR with a goal disallowed.
I'm not sure QPR agree with that.
Definitely a goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Certainly a goal. It's just sort of reignited the technology debate, isn't it? Which I don't think we need to go back into. But it's being tested, isn't it? The sort of Hawkeye systems are being tested, so it could well be in place fairly soon.
The real victim here is Clint Hill.
Yeah.
Never scored a Premier League goal.
He did score a home.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, well, he has an thing, yeah. But QPR are in real trouble. And Pete and I were talking about this briefly before. I mean, they've got Liverpool at home, Arsenal at home, United away, Spurs at home, Chelsea away, and Man City away on the last day.
They're down.
Still
they're down
tricky.
For me.
Yeah.
I think.
But with Bobby Zamora in the side, you never know. He's got a chance.
What else to him though in the Championship?
Scores loads.
Yeah.
I think QPR should just act as if the goal was given.
Yeah,
just sort of just sort of act as if they got the point.
Yeah,
or the point.
The point, extra point. Yeah.
Yeah, if they're gonna, you know, if you can be retrospectively, you know, criticised for stuff you've done on the pitch through video, you know, looking at the video and stuff. You go, oh no, we definitely did draw that match. Yeah,
I'd like to see him take it to the extreme, like, and if it means they start with that extra point, like fashioning their own Premier League fixture list for next season, going to games, getting on the pitch.
But say if Bolton stay up instead, like turning up at Bolton's games. Yeah. You go, well, what are you doing?
What are you doing here? Yeah.
Well, this is our dressing room. Wolves were beaten 2-0 at home by Blackburn. Sloppy from Wolves, but brilliant result for Blackburn. Junior Hoylett.
Second, Mick McCarthy looks like a shrewd move. 1 point from nine or something.
My giddy aunt. Let's go to the Championship, where Leeds United with a great win away to Middlesbrough. Two promotional candidates there, and Warnock with a first real big result for him. You could argue.
You see the Barry Robson sending off, because the game was on BBC, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Barry Robson got sent off, and Martin Keown was going, "Oh, what's he doing there? He's got to keep his head." No, that
managed to run penalty. It's all very
easy. Vampire picture.
Easier said than done. Yeah. Easier said than done. Southampton beat Barnsley 2-0, and Ricky Lambert was named Championship Player of the Season.
And what did he do?
He celebrated.
Ricky Lambert celebrate. That's what he did.
Yeah. Damn right. That's fair, isn't it?
I was at a music fest at the weekend, and someone shouted "Ricky Lambert celebrate" across the pavilion at me. If you're listening, show yourself. I don't know who it was, but it's amazing.
He obviously just heard the news.
Yeah,
but I said we're happy with that, surely.
It could have been some reggae on the other stage. I'm not sure.
With Ricky Lambert celebrating after he
celebrate.
Okay, right.
Get him on the plane.
Not yet.
Get him on the England B team plane. Are they still doing those?
Chris Sutton's the manager. Actually, Lambert said, didn't he, when he accepted the awards, that he wishes he'd worked harder when he was younger, but he didn't quite believe in himself, so he didn't push himself as hard as he felt that he should have, and now realises he needs to, which is a really interesting sort of insight.
Ricky Lambert castigate.
But Southampton are top. West Ham drew 1-1 with Doncaster. Funny one, West Ham dropping points at home to the team that are in 22nd.
They got battered by Ipswich, and they've not lost a game since then.
They've picked up a bit, haven't they? But you know, they are still a bit slack and all over the place. And who would have thought that would happen if you just sign up loads of sort of mercenary has-beens?
Incredible, isn't it, Jim?
The Championship at the top's funny because
Reading drew with Doncaster, and they're up to second now.
Mm. West Ham have a game in hand.
They do, though. Yeah.
But West Ham and Southampton. West Ham are unbeaten in 7, I think. Southampton are unbeaten in 9 in the league, and Reading have still reeled them in because they won like 9 in a row or something. Well, they won 10 in a row, and then they drew against. Who was it? I forget now.
Reading drew against Doncaster.
I saw Reading at Portsmouth at Madaisi Stadium last week. Mm. They won 1-0, and it was honestly one of the worst games I've ever seen. They won 1-0 with the only shot on target, and Portsmouth didn't have a single shot.
Wow.
It was awful. It's so bad.
The old Reading surge, as predicted by the
25 quid to get in. So,
wow, bloody horror. Naughty. Let's go to La Liga, where Real Madrid beat Betis 3-2, and Jose Mourinho won his 77th game in charge of Real Madrid, which makes his 77 wins out of his first 100 games in Spain the most successful ton in Spanish history. His team is incredible, isn't it? His team also set a club record of 10 away wins on the trot.
Great stuff. And he was sticking the boot into Pep as well, wasn't he, this week?
He always does.
Thinly veiled it was.
Yeah, in his weekly Pep bashing press conference.
He managed to turn him being a bit of an idiot and Pep being like a bit of a gentleman around to like, oh yeah, but the difference between me and Pep is I know my faults and I lay them bare for everyone to see, whereas Pep hides them. I
was thinking, behind his cardigan.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing.
Yeah. But there's no way they're not going to win the league now. 10 points clear.
Absolutely, yeah.
I did find it funny. Some of the reports were saying Barcelona trim Real Madrid's lead to 10 points and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, one of the goal scorers for Real Betis is a guy called Jefferson Montero, but on his shirt, for some reason, rather than just having Montero, he's got Jeff Montero. Yeah. It's like Alan Valderrama all over again.
It's true.
It's like Portsmouth once signed a player called Jean-Francois Perron, this like French, I think he was a midfielder way back in the 90s, I think it was. And he did an interview in the local paper, as they do, unveil a new signing. Mm. And he said, "I'd like to be called Jeff."
Why?
And it's like, you call Jean-Francois, a really nice name. Yeah. Like Jeff Perron, please.
I don't like it when people try and reduce good names. Like Roberto Baggio, when people call him Robbie Baggio.
Robbie Baggio, yeah.
Nobby, Norberto. I've never liked that, really.
Yeah.
Nobby Solano. But the Clásico, I think, is on the 22nd of April, isn't it? So if...
10-pointer.
They should agree to that. Oh yeah, that's the real title race. So whoever wins that, wins it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a 4-pointer for Barca if they win.
Yeah.
You know, that's the slim hope they have. I just can't see Madrid dropping that many points.
But there's no way that...
Barca win that game.
Because Real Madrid is so poor against Barca, what they needed to do is make sure they've got a bigger gap than 3 points ahead of Barca for that game, and they've done that, and there's no way they're going to lose it.
Could they win the title there?
I suppose I could do.
That would be a big one.
Indeed it would be. Barcelona did beat Racing Santander 2-0 with the goals coming from Messi. Messi also became the first player to score a glut 5 goals in a Champions League match against Bayern Leverkusen.
That was magnificent.
Wasn't it just?
The relentless goal.
2 lobs.
Yeah, his first lob. Like, I still don't work out how he's done that. It's like he's inventing new ways to kick a football.
Yeah. Like, what, how quickly he got it up and down sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the part of his foot he hit it with. I haven't got one of those.
Do you see that Messi's brother, Matthias Messi, has revealed that he has a tattoo of his famous brother on his left shoulder?
That's an awkward thing to
That's
gauge,
just
isn't
weird,
it?
Isn't
that
it?
Is really weird, isn't it?
Yeah. You brother, would you ever get a tattoo of him on your shoulder?
No.
What would he have to do if you'd get a tattoo of him on the shoulder?
A glass against Bayern, Bayern Leverkusen. Also in the Champions League, we have to say that Apoel Nicosia progressing to the quarterfinals, the first Cypriot team to do so, was just magnificent.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
On pen, Michel Bastos missed one, didn't he?
He did for Leon, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm still thinking about that Messi thing. Could you imagine if Rodri Giggs had done that?
That's amazing, yeah.
Rodri Giggs plays, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Or Alan Valderrama.
Yeah.
The race.
I was going to say Paul Terry, but he's just as bad as John.
Yeah, that's true. They've probably got tattoos of each other.
Yeah.
Phil and Gary Neville. Yeah. Levante lost 1-0 to Malaga. Malaga are in fourth, Levante are in fifth. Osasuna are still in the hunt for fourth, though, after beating Bills' Bilbao 2-1.
Yeah. Bilbao were magnificent against Man United.
While I was coming on to that, yeah, they beat Manchester United 3-2 at Old Trafford.
Mm. They're fans as well. Amazing.
Yeah. It's one of the best attacking performances that I've seen from an away European team at Old Trafford. Absolutely. I mean,
the third goal, Muniain. The
pace!
I know, he was like the Eurostar coming down there. It was just incredible.
He had four times the distance to make up. And he's still got effort.
You must break your leg in that sort of...
It wasn't like he was running forward, it was like he's pulling the world backwards. That's how quick it was, wasn't it?
It was like he was skiing towards goal.
And like David De Gea was like in a dream where he couldn't get anywhere. He's you're really close to the ball, just get in the way of it. It was amazing. And one thing about just on the La Liga thing,
yeah,
because the league table is so skewed, as Barcelona and Real Madrid are so dominant,
yes.
You've got the teams in 4th, 5th and 6th, Malaga, Levante and Osasuna. Malaga have got a goal difference of 0 in 4th. Levante have got a goal difference of 0 in 5th. Osasuna in 6th, -9.
Golden, baby.
Because that 8-0 drubbing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Incredible, isn't it? Yeah. But I mean, that is quite something with Bilbao beating Manchester United. The team who are 7th in the league are beating the team of 1st.
But Bilbao are the best going forward in the La Liga outside the top 2. Definitely.
Mm. It's also, I mean, a lot of people say that the Spanish league is almost like the SPL and it's so horribly dominated by two teams, but that's not to say that teams below them are bad.
Yeah, because
I mean, we're looking at two of them
in the SPL. They are bad.
Yeah. I think that's
in the league. Look at his little face.
We're looking at two of the greatest sides the world's seen. Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're the best two teams in the world.
They shouldn't even be in the same league as each other. Really, should they?
Mm. What league should they be in? Their own league.
They should be in the Spanish league. And they can play in, like, I don't know, Portugal.
Space League.
Real.
Well, let's go back to earthly leagues, where we go to Serie A, and Milan have opened up a 4-point lead over Juventus. They beat Lecce 2-0 at home. A lovely goal from Ibra. Juve drew away to Genoa. Ibra was rather rude to a Sky Sport presenter.
Of course he was.
Yeah, she asked him a question and he threw a headband at her.
I think it was his hair clip or something.
Yeah.
Was that not his, like, sort of woman lasso?
I think, did he not say, what the F are you asking or looking at or something?
She asked him a problem about how, like, the Milan president said something about Ibra was looking really moody or something, so, you know, Kel surprise.
It's just his face.
Yeah, and the president said, well, I'd rather have an angry, unhappy Ibra than a sort of placid one. Mm. And then she asked him a question about it. I can't remember the ins and outs of it, and he threw something at her.
Yeah,
he's a gent.
Yeah. Did you see the goal he nearly scored against Lecce?
It was
basically sort of, he was right on the edge of the box, towards the touchline, just inside Lecce's box, like the sort of position you should really cross from, and he just sort of tried to scoop it into the far post, and it so nearly came off. Yeah. And he even sort of looked quite humble afterwards, as if to go, hey,
no, he didn't.
What was I trying to do doing that? I'm Zlatan. I'm going to score a brilliant goal in a minute. You watch.
Yeah.
And then he did.
I think the reason he did that thing to that woman in the interview is because he's a big interview bottler.
Is that right?
Yeah, just didn't fancy it.
That's what Sky Sport, yeah, exactly. Napoli are up to fourth after a 6-3 win against Cagliari.
Oh, it's funny because I thought Italian football was really boring all the time.
Yeah, there's no goals. Six individual scorers for Napoli.
And a hat trick for Cagliari as well.
Yeah, whacking Larrivia. Yeah. I'm not sure how you pronounce that name.
Game was chaos. The highlights I saw of that, I think from Napoli.
I like a chaotic game.
Yeah, I think they were from Napoli's own TV station, so the commentary on it was just his. Hysterical. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the guy was having a stroke for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Super. Like Napoli throw-ins were getting celebrated more than goals get celebrated here.
Honestly, I'm not making that. That's what Pompey fans do now. When I was at the Medeski, they were celebrating throw-ins and singing "Let's pretend we've scored a goal" and cheering. Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah, that's great. I like that a lot.
Pretending going on that the game was 1-0 when it wasn't. Singing the championship's upside down, we're going up with Doncaster, all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
keep the mood up. Inter won 2-0 away at Chievo, late goals from Diego Melito and Walter Samuel. But they're
old
out.
War horses. Two old war horses. Yeah.
They are absolute veterans with arrows sticking out of their legs.
Yeah. Diego Melito and Walter Samuel are sort of blokes that in a battle would have like three or four arrows stuck in them and still be fighting. Yeah.
And they'd make it out the other end.
Can you imagine how scarred up their cartilages?
This is Inter!
Walter Samuel is like 85% cartilage.
Yeah, it's like the rest is cartilage.
It's like the Barrier Reef behind his kneecap. Solid.
Behind his kneecap, he's just like a really badly broken up like wafer biscuit, held together by like sticky plaster.
My goodness! But having said all that, they're out of the Champions League. Marseille on away goals.
That's huge. That is huge.
A couple of late goals in that
huge,
game, wasn't it?
It is huge. Also in the Champions League, Bayern beat Basel 7-0 in Munich, 7-1 on aggregate.
Champions League is particularly brilliant this year, isn't it? Mm.
They beat Freiburg 7-0 as well. I would like to know if that's the first team to win two 7-0 games in a row. They must.
Was it Hoffenheim?
I was at Hoffenheim. Okay.
Mario Gomez got 7 goals in those two games.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff. I could really see him being a sort of Van Nistelrooy figure at United. Mm. He's got that same sort of just absolute kind of lethal finishing.
It cost Bayern quite a lot of money, didn't it? I was surprised he didn't sort of move out of Germany, actually. But Bayern are a big problem.
Yeah, they're a big deal.
Bayern aren't doing very well this year, though.
They're five points off Dortmund at the top.
They've been fairly inconsistent. That's been the problem.
They've had some
patchy runs.
You know, in Champions League. So. Got the Euros to come. Yeah. He's laughing. Now, another man who laughs a lot is Gigi Becali.
Yay.
Shall we go to Romania?
Yeah. Can we?
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Shall we roll the wheel of simile and metaphor?
See what he comes up with.
Becali, he's planning on getting rid of all the foreigners that play for his Steaua Bucharest team.
Hey, good lad.
In an article from The Guardian, Becali said, "I want to see a team built entirely of Romanians. That's my intention." Pablo Brandon has already left to join a Chinese club, but the contracts of Geraldo Alves and Valentin Iliev will not be extended after the end of the season, and Stefan Nikolic will also leave.
I'm almost certain that will be the first those players have heard of this.
The reason why he's doing this is he's harking on back to when Steaua won the European Cup in 1986, beating Terry Venables' Barcelona in the final 2-0 on penalties.
El Tel.
Barcelona missed four penalties. The first four penalties were missed. Two for Steaua and two for Barcelona.
And this is these are the Steaua that escaped the country. That's what I like about Gigi Becali.
Keeping a clean sheet in a penalty shootout. That's an amazing achievement there. But as Becali said, there were only Romanians in the team in 1986 and they won the European Cup. So why should we pay...
Get them back.
Yeah. Why should we pay high salaries to foreign players and not win anything?
I love his logic, or lack of.
Yeah.
But in other news, Becali is currently being sued by Dynamo Bucharest owner Dragos Savulescu, because Gigi said about Savulescu that he is a man who sleeps with men. It's gay, I think that's what he means. And Savulescu wants €2.5 million in damages. I mean, is it that bad for someone to say?
That is a really, really homophobic amount.
I was going to say,
the best bit about that story is that Becali came back and said he had over 30 witnesses who would testify.
Busy park.
And then that's some party that Savulescu then said he is a thick primitive brute.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh,
I don't know whether that's Becali,
which is quite a camp insult.
Big brute.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers, me.
Oh dear, oh dear. Right now, before going for gold, we're going to go to Brazil, where Ricardo Teixeira has resigned from the CBF, Brazil's Football Association, due to health reasons. He's been in charge there for 23 years, and Vice President Jose Maria Marin has taken over. He's the bloke that stole that medal we talked about a few weeks ago.
Excellent.
No, we're in good hands.
So we've gone from a thief to a thief.
Yeah. Well, he's just a smaller scale thief, but he'll learn. Yeah.
When we say health reasons, does it mean like the health of his bank account? Is that why?
I don't know, but he still he will remain a FIFA executive committee member. He can't run Brazil, but he can still run the world.
Yeah. I can imagine like Teixeira interviewing him for the position and go, right, what's the biggest thing you've stolen? Oh, I stole a medal.
Medal in a youth tournament.
Worried about the lack of his ambition there.
Maybe it wasn't for a lot of people. Oh, you're in then.
Maybe stealing the medal was like a test. Like this. Yeah. And he passed with flying colours.
You've got gall.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Well, it was quite funny actually, because Ronaldo was saying that, oh, you know, sad to see Teixeira leave, blah, blah, blah. Romario was not so...
bothered.
Yeah, he was. No sooner had the news broken, and bearing in mind it's supposedly to do with health reasons, he said, Romario said, "Today we can celebrate. We have exterminated a cancer from Brazilian football. Finally, Teixeira has resigned from the CBF presidency." And he went on to say, "I hope the new president, Jose Maria Marin, who stole a medal from a Corinthians youth player, does not make that a habit in the Confederation. Sir, now we have to exterminate the AIDS."
Oh my God. So does he call him the AIDS?
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
That's outrageous. Romario.
Manageable drugs nowadays. So.
Incredible.
FIFA, so much fun. Yeah, well, it's not much fun.
Yeah, that's the CBF. But the CBF and FIFA having to jump into bed together for the World Cup, it's as we've been reporting.
It's only going to get funnier. Yeah. But Teixeira also said that he was he felt he could leave, you know, having, you know, performed his duties really well and sort of, you know, like with his head held high. And it's just, why is it that the most corrupt people are always so quick to laud themselves when they sort of leave? They never leave with dignity. They always leave talking themselves up, you know, sort of like almost being defiant in advance.
At least we've got people
guilty conscience.
At least we've got people who do act with dignity around that sort of thing, like Dave Richards. Tell the uninitiated what Dave Richards did.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people know this already, but Dave Richards yesterday,
who's one of the big he's a big cheese in English football, basically. Yeah. He got his job by running Sheffield Wednesday into the ground.
Is that right?
That was his audition.
Well, and that's usually enough.
Yeah,
fit and proper. He was. It was in Doha, was it not? Where this happened? It was.
Qatar.
Yeah. What was it for? It was a big sort of FIFA UEFA conference, wasn't it? Something like that. And basically, he at this sort of conference, he'd said that he felt that FIFA had robbed football from England. That they in the sort of World Cup bidding process, they hadn't made it clear they were looking at giving it to nations that had never had it before. And he reminded the world that England invented the game, you know, and that the Chinese can say they invented it if they wanted, but we know that we did, and we standardised it and gave it all this, that, and the other. And that the world should be grateful. And apparently he was really getting quite angry and had to be calmed down. Then afterwards, at the sort of drinks afterwards, fell into a swimming pool.
Oh, Jonathan Wilson called him Captain Mannering.
It's absolutely classic, isn't it? It would be funny anyway. I'm sure we'd hear about it if he fell into the swimming pool. But like, that he's just made such a huge sort of like proper little Englander abroad sort of tirade against bloody Johnny Foreigner. Yeah.
The swimming pool thing
ruining
like,
our game
makes me think he had like a white hanky on his head. Yeah. He was getting really flustered and was asking like the head of the Indian FA, who he mistook for like a waiter or something, to fetch him like another pink fizz or something like that.
He was stamping around because all the German delegates had taken all the best spots in front of the pool and laid their towels down. I'm so furious. Oh, God.
Sort of some wag standing by the pool would have gone, well, clearly he needed to cool down.
Yeah, other sports they come in. Okay, cool off, David.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, back briefly to Brazil, where Jerome Valca, who insulted Brazil the other week, was saying that they needed they needed to kick up the backside with their World Cup preparations. To be fair, he is right, if the reports are to be believed. He apologised to the country, and the Brazilian government has accepted this, although the presidential advisor, Marco Garcia, had a little dig at Valca by saying this FIFA spokesman's name has been crossed off. This guy's a bum. Presidential advisor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For one
love
of the
it.
Biggest economies in the world.
The 2014 World Cup might break football.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's like watching the idiots in Parliament just shouting about the NHS bill. It's just kind of like, it's just get your do your job. Don't whinge about being late. Just do it.
It's 2012. The Cup's in 2014. We've got loads to go.
Yeah. So they get better.
And now it's time for Going for Glold.
Going for Glold. It is time for Going for Glold. I'll just get me... many clues over here on the computer.
Who won it last time?
You. I think you know who won it last time.
You won it last time, Luke. You big idiot.
There's the finger.
Yeah.
There's.
Oh, by the way, quickly before we do go on for Claude, have you seen the new assistant manager at Chelsea?
It's Eddie Newton. The Chinese peanut and Eddie Newton.
Yeah. Stop. Is it Eddie Newton?
No, it is
not. We've already had him.
Stop, Di Matteo.
No.
Jimbo, move the. You could. Laptop.
Oh, it's very, very honest of you there, Jim.
Jim can see the clues.
The clues? Jim can see the clues.
I can see the reflection of the clues in your glasses.
Oh, golden bit.
You're fine.
Right.
Yep.
All right, okay. I'll get them out quickly, right?
Three. Honestly, seriously, lovely banter. Yeah.
I was born in Chernobylia, the Ukrainian SSR. Now across the Ukraine.
Andrei Voronin.
No.
Stop. Is it Andrei Shevchenko?
No.
Stop.
We're out of ideas.
Sergei Rebrov.
No.
We had any more Ukrainians.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested this name to
Stop.
Me.
Stop.
So.
Oleg Luzhny.
You can only have one guess per round.
Come on. It's not him anyway, so I've done you all a favour.
When I was 8 years old, a coach from Skonto Riga visited my school and I decided to play football. Which makes you think he could have been a fireman if, like, yeah. the fireman came round.
Yeah, that is really strange.
Or a police dog. I want to be a police dog.
It also implies that he'd never played before.
Yeah, that scout's got it the wrong way around. He's supposed to be watching an actual player.
Anyone fancy a game?
Yeah.
I started on the wings and in midfield, but settled on striker.
Stop. Andrzej Kanchelskis.
No.
Carry on.
I won the Baltic Cup with my national team.
It's a very cold cup.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Stop. Paolo Maldini.
a very late Paolo Maldini.
Yeah, usually it's earlier.
All right, I've got two clues left. I was known as the Latvian Michael Owen.
Stop.
Marion Bahals.
Yes.
Yes! Gainer, yes! Good work. Marion Pahars, Southampton legend.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing.
And I'd like to thank an anonymous tweeter, emailer or text. I can't remember who told me to do it.
Yeah. You know you are.
But thank you.
Thank you
Probably
indeed.
Probably a Southampton fan.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
Let's have an email or two.
Let's. Shall I go first?
Indeed you shall.
Woohoo, Black Betty, Ramble Amblers.
That has raised
the standard. The greetings, isn't it? When I was around 11 years old, I was running late for football practice. My favourite football shirt was in the laundry bin. Nonetheless, I pulled it out and took it to training. What I didn't know was that my mother had dropped a bottle of vinaigrette all over it and used
What's
my football...
middle class problem?
Yeah, and used my football shirt to wipe it up.
Oh.
So when I wore it, I smelled of vinaigrette and got all kinds of stick from all my little training buddies. They couldn't stand near me because of the smell. I had the training of my life, dribbling past my opponents with consummate ease and scoring freely. So maybe wearing shirts smelling of vinaigrette could be the way to end Barcelona's winning ways in the Champions League. And that is from Michel Jongsma in the Netherlands. I hope I've pronounced that right. Thank you very much.
Maybe that was the secret growth serum that they injected into Messi.
Yeah. Maybe Messi isn't that good, he just stinks.
Messi, you stinker!
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to mark someone who absolutely reeks, would you?
You wouldn't.
He would put you off, because every time they came near, you go, oh, Gordon.
Yeah.
There we are. Pete, what
At least
you got?
Paul McGrath used to have a breath mint before he got on the pitch. This is an email from one Adam Sunderland. All right, Ramblers!
Hello.
All right. It was my girlfriend's birthday last week. Decided to treat her to an I Am Zlatan t-shirt. Mate. The look of happiness when she opened it brought a tear to my eye. She's never watched a football match in her life and has no idea who Zlatan Ibrahimovic is.
Happy day.
Well done, Adam Sunderland.
Yeah, we have a final email. This is a friend of mine sort of put me onto this. A friend of mine, Ben Vanderveld, his name is. He was
telling
me about a friend of his, Gareth Hooper, would write silly football poems, right? This is a two-part. So I'm just going to firstly going to read the poem, right, and then tell you the story behind it. It's called If We Could Clone Ian Wone. If we could clone Ian Wone, there'd be nothing else we'd need. Not a weakness on the pitch, entertainment guaranteed. Ian, you play centre-back, Wone, you're in goal. Should we play with two up top or stick Ian in the hole? If we could clone Ian Wone, what a team we'd be. A 3-1 win away from home and Ian's grabbed all three. Ian Wone from fullback, up the lines of forward, Wone. Wone then sticks it in the box, and Ian heads it home. If we could clone Ian Wone, no team could ask for more. Better than United in 99 or Arsenal in 04. After the referee's blown for full time and the players are heading home, each opposition player's happy. He swaps shirts with Ian Wone.
A round of applause. Yeah.
Right, and sort of the story behind that is that Gareth Hooper, the author of that superb poem, found a way to somehow get in touch with Ian Wone and send him this poem. And he got an email back from Ian Wone's sister saying, "Stop hassling my brother, you weirdo."
And the thing I like about it is that his sister has access to his emails.
And she's also called Ian.
It's like the Lee Sharp fan club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Run by his sister.
But Lee Sharp used to do barbecues for his fans.
Yeah.
In his house. Done that?
I'll tell you what, though. If anybody doesn't know who Ian Wone is, treat yourself, because he scored some great goals.
Yeah, he did.
There must be some YouTube.
He's got a couple of goals against Newcastle.
He did.
But like, the best thing about that is...
Nottingham Forest player, of course.
I really want her to be called John Wone. And I really want to do like a cartoon of John Wone just walking around like the Nottingham.
Just going, leave my brother!
It's my brother. Can I have free food, please? It's my brother.
Get your football poems in.
And it's profile time, ladies and gentlemen. We've got there, and we have a French footballing legend for you. It's Raymond Kopa.
Ooh la la.
Big yes. one.
How about Ledge. That, eh?
Absolute legend. Mm. 50s legend.
50s legend. But he was born on October the 13th, 1931.
36 years before them summer of loves.
A French trailblazer. But we'll come on to that.
Yeah.
Raymond Kopa Zuski, as he was originally known, born in France to Polish parents. But he was loved football from an early age, as they all do.
Mm.
After finishing school at the age of 14, he went to work down the mines in his town in northern France, which is remarkable. 14 years old, down the mines. You know, finished school on the Friday, you got the job on the Monday.
I think Jermaine Pennant did that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Right.
But it's one of those things, can you think, they have mines in France.
Yeah.
So, je regarde le Piquex.
They have mines in all of the north.
All of the Norths.
Yeah.
So a few years later, in 1949, he'd entered the Young Footballer competition, which in France at the time was a national event open to young hopefuls, with many of the top coaches watching on.
Like those Sky One programmes.
It was called?
Wayne Rooney Street
Striker. I told you it was a trailblazer.
Yeah. It's just called the Young Footballers competition.
I think that's what it was called, something like that.
Rubbish name.
He came.
But at least you know what you're going to get.
He came second overall.
Who came first?
I don't know. Oh. And he signed with Angers. Or Angers, as it's spelled, or pronounced.
Let's go with that.
Angers.
He signed for Angers. 2 years later, he was playing in a friendly match, and he impressed Albert Batteau, who was the legendary coach of Stade de Reims. Batteau was great at many things, but one thing in particular he was superb at was enabling flair players to express themselves fully on the field. And Kopa signed for Stade Reims in 1951.
Kopa was like a playmaker come sort of forward, wasn't he?
Yeah, this is number 10, kind of, really.
Stade Reims have a very interesting story as well. They were one of the biggest clubs in Europe at the time, and they've just kind of disappeared. They do still exist, but they're sort of kind of down in the sort of lower leagues.
That's right.
That's where the word Reims came from.
another no, it isn't. Saint-Étienne are also a big team.
They've
fallen off. Yeah.
Blackburn Rovers. He signed for them in 1951. Now, Kopa was quite a small guy. He was only 5'6", but it was that low centre of gravity which he made the most of. You know, very impressive dribbler of the ball. As you said, looked deployed behind the strikers. And Kopa said, "I absolutely love dribbling. Some people told me off for it, saying that I held on to the ball too long and I slowed the game down. But my coach always insisted that I stick to my style of play."
It's like Garincha. Just loves to dribble.
Yeah, and the crowd loved it as well.
Yeah, dribbling was his bit. No, I'll stop.
Yeah, you could pick out a pass, create chances, dictate the tempo.
Yeah.
So when they say, "Oh, you're slowing the game down," it's like, "Yes, I know."
That's he's an orchestrator.
Yeah. Indeed, he was. He played. He also got amongst the goals quite a lot as well. He played in the 1954 World Cup with France, although they went out in the first round. But his time in the international scene was to come 4 years after that. Now, Kopa and his team, Stade Reims, during that period, as you said, Jimbo, they won the league twice. They were an excellent side back then, best team in France, and finished runners up to Real Madrid in the European Cup final, losing 4-3.
Real Madrid were quite good back then, weren't they?
They were decent.
Yeah. They were decent.
It's also worth noting as well that the European Cup back then was like there were like two rounds in it, or something weird like that. There weren't many teams involved in it, but still.
But any kind of international competition was unheard of as well.
And you had to win the league to be in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's at least say that, you know.
Ah, yesterday.
Yeah.
Even we can remember those days. And he signed for Real Madrid did Copper shortly after that, which caused some outrage in France. He said of this, "I was the first French player to leave the country and play abroad. At the time, a lot of people saw me as a traitor. It was just my misfortune to be a pioneer." It's quite an odd thing to say misfortune for a pioneer.
I think it was because obviously he played against Madrid in that final.
He did.
And I think there'd been talk of him going there before that. If I remember about him is right. And there was talk, you know, after they played, De Stefano was apparently incredible and just unplayable in that final. And afterwards, he was almost like sort of like really sort of French and philosophical and like Albert Camus about it. He was like, they do not need me. Oh. Yeah. Depressing.
Well, he did team up with Alfredo De Stefano and Ferenc Puskás at Madrid.
Because De Stefano just played wherever he wanted, didn't he? Yeah. He started off move, finishing move, he could do everything he wanted.
Copper, but, I mean, that's the Galacticos of its day.
Yeah. Well, they were the original Galacticos. I mean, De Stefano, Puskás, and Copper.
Yeah.
That's obscene.
That's worth the ticket price.
It is. And one of the best clubs in the 20th century, damn it all. Copper was voted in the top three of the Ballon d'Or for 4 years in a row, and he was third in 56 and 57, first in 58 and second in 59. I mean, when you are winning the Ballon d'Or ahead of Puskás and De Stefano,
you wonder how many people would have heard of him, because that is a phenomenal record.
That is ridiculous.
His status doesn't seem to reflect how much he did.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he was at Madrid for 3 years, whereas maybe other players, other legends there have
built a longer legacy.
Slightly
perhaps.
More. But I think it's best to leave it to Copper to describe his time there. He said, "They were three fantastic years. For three whole seasons, we won the lot. Yeah. We were also voted the team of the century by the fans in the year 2000, which was Madrid's centenary year." He said, "There was an incredible atmosphere whenever we played. We didn't have any sponsors and there was no games on TV, so we had to play friendly matches across the world to keep the club going." And he said, "I won three consecutive European Cups with Real, and in 3 years we only lost one home match in all competitions."
My God.
Against Pep Guardiola's Barcelona.
During his time at Real Madrid, he participated in the 1958 World Cup finals in Sweden with France, of course. France were excellent in that tournament. They finished third.
Wales got to the semi-final, didn't they?
They
Barca, or the quarter-final. I think it was by Barca, by Brazil. They're everywhere.
That's right.
Wales did very well in that tournament, from what I remember.
They did. Wales were put in a good performance. France started off with a 7-3 victory over Paraguay, who were meant to be one of the favourites.
Yeah, exactly.
7-3,
especially back then.
They were beaten by Pelé and Brazil in the semi-finals, 5-2. But they were down to 10 men. Their captain was injured, and of course, no substitutes back then.
Because Brazil beat Wales in the quarter, and they beat France in the semi, I think.
Yeah. Well, now, again, this is how decent Copper was. I mean, he was given the Golden Ball for best player of the tournament. Mm. Bearing in mind, that was Pelé, Didi for Brazil, and Just Fontaine, Copper's teammate, scored 13 goals. Yeah. So he must have been flipping
phenomenal.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. And he got three himself in that tournament, and France finished third. He left Real Madrid in 1959, went back to Stade Rennes, where he played for another 8 years before retiring. Managed to get another couple of league title wins as well in that time. But him and his teammate Just Fontaine, who we inducted not that long ago, obviously had a massive impact on French football on the field, but off it as well, because together they helped found the National Union of Players Footballers, which brought in fixed time contracts. Because up until the late 60s in France, players belonged to their clubs for life.
Blimey.
Oh. Wow. So it was quite an important change.
Yeah, that's huge.
In the history of the game.
So how did Madrid get him? They kidnap him?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I suppose they must have just convinced Stavrum to say, you know, you've got to let us have him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, very different back then. So maybe
his move to Madrid was just like a glorified loan. Because he had to go back there anyway, because he was owned by them.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, again, that's why people were probably quite outraged as well.
I'll be interested to know that. I have to look it up.
Mm.
So we fast forward now to 1973, 6 years after his retirement, and Cobble was asked to play in a pre-season friendly for Paris Saint-Germain, who were coached by his friend Just Fontaine at the time. 42-year-old Ramon Cobble scored a hat trick. and he had to politely refuse an offer to play in the team again at the age of 42.
That's fast.
Absolutely superb. Apparently he was still playing some a level of football until like the age of 70, absolutely superb. But I'll leave the final words to English journalist Desmond Hackett, who said this after seeing Cobble put on a superb display for France against Spain in Madrid, where he said, "This man is truly the Napoleon of football."
Oh, nice. I'd like to be as Josephine.
And in comes Roman Cobble into the Big Man House Hall of Fame. There we are, kids. I hope you like the show. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Jimbo.
Yeah, and on the .com this week, Liam Toomey looks at the success of Brendan Rodgers at Swansea, Kieran Pender shines his light on Australia's Good Day League, and Eric Beard gets all philosophical about Lionel Messi, which is, to be fair, an easy thing to do. Elsewhere, there's the Hall of Fame, the shop, the forum, and all kinds of internet malarkey. So, yeah, get over there, thefootballramble.com.
Lovely stuff.
And I would also like to thank all of the listeners that came to my preview the other night. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
I saw a bit of you, when you'd finished.
Yeah,
I read your notebook.
I saw it all and it was bloody excellent.
Well, thanks.
I've started off doing a hilarious, unintentionally hilarious betting tips column for Betfair at betting.betfair.com.
How's it working out?
The first one was over 3.5 goals in United versus Bilbao, so that came off.
Nice.
But this week I've predicted Fiorentina to beat Juventus, which is probably not going to happen. I don't know what I was thinking. Betting.betfair.com.
You've just been to ATP, to be fair, Luke.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. Right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye,
Pete.
See ya.
And Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you later, Buckback Biggles.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.